Good evening, everyone. Again, a warm welcome to you, to Little Hill Church, as we worship God together. And welcome also to those who are listening to us online. Pray that God will speak to all of us as we gather together to worship Him. Our speaker this evening is Mark Stringer. Mark being a faithful minister of God's word, and Mike attends OdB Evangelical Church. So welcome, Mike. Thank you ever so much for coming and sharing God's word with us again this evening. And we pray that God will use you as we meet together. Following our meeting this evening, we have a short meeting afterwards. It's called Elders Question Time. So some of you have submitted some questions, and we as elders have thought about them, prayed about them, discussed them together, and we'll share what the responses to those questions are. So that'll be after the meeting this evening. Regarding the coming week, I hope you already have received the link, and that'll have all the details about what's happening in the church, in the life of the church. Could ask that you will use this as a very useful prayer guide, that in your prayers remember these things, because we want to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mention two or three other things. Wednesday we have Sheds meeting, men's fellowship, and meet at Victor's house at 10 o'clock. So that's on Wednesday. Then on Thursday we have our midweek meeting, but it's taking a different format. We have a visit from the Christian Institute, and they'll be speaking to us, Sure Foundation. So come on Thursday, please, at 7:45. And there will be invitation have gone out to other churches, so you find there are some other people coming together, so it'll be time for fellowship and getting to know one another as well. So that's on Thursday at 7:45. Mention also for next Sunday, our speaker in the morning will be our brother John Eardley, and in the evening will be our brother Dalton King. So do pray for these two men as they prepare God's message for us for next Sunday. Opportunity to share the gospel with men. That is on the 22nd of November. There is an Italian evening. And if you are coming, could I encourage all men to come and join on that day. It's on the 22nd. And if you definitely know you're coming and what you would like to eat, could you put the details on the sheet in the foyer as you go out? That's on 22nd. Then please use the cards to invite others as well. Ladies are making sure they're not being left out. They are also meeting on the 26th of November, the same week, on the Saturday after, and they've gone for cakes. Okay, they're having nice sweet things. So that's again, it's be here and Little Hill Church, and that'll be November the 26th. So please come, ladies, invite others, take again the invites which are there. Great opportunity to share. And senior citizens tea is on the 12th of November at 3:30. Remember that also in your prayers. I'm going to hand over to Mike, who's going to take the rest of the service. And welcome again, Mike. Thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Good evening, folks. Good to see you. Thank you for coming out this evening. It's a joy to see you once again. Our subject for tonight is faithfulness. And let's start off by singing about God's great faithfulness There's only one hymn we can start with, really, isn't it? Should be on the screen in front of us. There it is. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand and sing to God's praise, shall we? Father, we praise and thank you for reminding us this evening of your great, great faithfulness. Lord, you have been faithful to us all through our lives. Your abundant goodness has been shared with us moment by moment and day by day. Even from our youngest times when we were ignorant of you, you were still faithful to us. And you have, by your grace, love and mercy, brought us together to this time here this evening with so many, many, many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all your great love and goodness to us since we saw one another, whether that was earlier today or a few weeks ago or however long. Lord, the very fact of our being here this evening is a testimony to your goodness and faithfulness towards us. Thank you, Lord, for the homes from which we've come. Thank you, Lord, for the wholesome food and drink that we've already had today. Thank you for our comforts and shelter. Thank you for those that love us, Lord, and care for us and think about us. Thank you, Lord, for those that pray for us and help us and encourage us. thank you and praise you, dear Heavenly Father, for those who look after us on a wider scale. We thank you for our dear friends and helpers in the National Health Service. Thank you for doctors and nurses and support staff. Thank you for health workers. Thank you for care workers. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for those who care for the mentally ill as well as the physically ill. Thank you for our school teachers and our schools and all the backup staff there, Lord. Thank you for our security services, our police. Dear gracious God, we thank and praise you that we live in a land where we have so many numerous blessings and where we don't feel threatened. We're not living in a land where gunmen are likely to burst in tonight and murder and maim. Thank and praise you, dear gracious God, we have a comfortable, lovely building to meet in. We can be grateful, Lord, for the peace and quiet that we have and that we share. So many temporal blessings, Lord, that we so easily take for granted and forget to return praise and thanks to you. And we praise and thank you especially, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that you've given to us your Son. You've given him to the world because you've loved the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given yourself to us because you have loved us. Borne our sin in your body on the tree. Thank you for your dying love. Thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you for your cleansing blood. Thank you for your forgiving grace. Lord, we pray that we'll enjoy a sense of your forgiveness and help and grace and presence here this evening. Pray you'll grant us the sense of the Holy Spirit amongst us. Holy Spirit, we pray you'll light up your precious truth to us. And even if we don't learn anything different or new tonight, we pray that you will thrill us by reminding us the wonders of your wonderful truth and precious promises. So we ask, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your mercies, love, and grace towards us this evening hour. We ask it all in the Saviour's name. Amen. I want to turn you tonight to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. I'd like to encourage you to join in the reading with me. If you've got sight of a church Bible, it's on page 572. Page 572, the church Bible, Psalm 57. If I read the odd-numbered verses, invite you to join together and read the even-numbered verses. Then we can share in fellowship reading God's word together, which is a good thing to do. So, let's read this lovely passage of God's word. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praise to you among the nations. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Well, there's a little song that's based on that psalm, and it's, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. I think there's only the one verse to this, isn't there, Trevor? Sign of old age coming on. So I think it's just a little song. We'll sing it through a couple of times, shall we? It just reminds us so lovely of this psalm and of the great faithfulness of our God. I will give thanks to thee. Let's stand to sing. In our nation and in the world in which we live. Let's pray. Loving, gracious God and Father, as we come before you again this evening, we are aware that along with all your wonderful blessings, we still live in a world that is terribly fallen, so often rebellious against you. And it's not, Lord, that we stand on the side and we look at it with critical eyes. We acknowledge, Lord, we are part of this fallen human race. And dear gracious God and Father, we plead with you for your mercies to a needy, needy world. Some of us, Lord, perhaps many of us, have loved ones who don't know and love you and don't care about you. Friends, colleagues at work, neighbours, people, Lord, who have no interest in you whatsoever. Others of us, Lord, may well know those who once were keen Christians and seemed to display all the marks of great Christian growth, and now they have no interest whatsoever. Dear gracious God, we pray for your mercies to these dear ones. We ask, Lord, that you would look upon them in your kindness and grace, reach out with saving power, Lord, we would pray. To our loved ones that don't know you, we commend them to you, Lord. We think of them now in our hearts and minds. And we pray, Lord, for our nation and all its current needs. We are aware, Lord, of many people, perhaps even among ourselves, who are still very concerned about the approaching winter and how we are going to cope with the demands, financially especially, both to pay our bills, Lord, and to feed our families and ourselves. Pray, Lord, for those who are in far greater need than us. We think of the homeless tonight. And thank you, Lord, for those who in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ seek to help the homeless. We think of the group down in the middle of the city centre, Lord, called The Bridge, who try to take in and help and feed and warmth to the homeless, Lord. And we pray for them tonight, for your help for them. Think of Open Hands, Lord, who seek to reach out to the needy in the city of Leicester and other places too, and commend them to you, Lord. Thank you that many of those volunteers are those that know and love you and want to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in these desperately needed and practical ways. So we commend them to you, Lord, and pray for your grace towards them. Pray for those in our local councils, Lord, who know and love you and are seeking to spread the good news of the gospel while seeking to serve our communities, Lord. And we pray that amidst all the political comings and goings, you will help them to maintain a good and faithful testimony to you. And we pray, Lord, for our councillors. We pray, Lord, for our members of parliament. We pray, Lord, for the new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, Lord, and his cabinet. And we plead, dear Heavenly Father, that these people who we believe, Lord, are concerned to, we pray, Lord, we hope that their concern is to do their best they possibly can for our country. I'm sure many of them do. That's their heart's desire and motivation. And we pray, Lord, they may look to you for the wisdom that they need in these difficult days. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd be pleased to look upon our nation in all its spiritual need. We pray, Lord, that you would revive your word and your work in our nation. That there might be a respect, Lord, for the commands of God. That there might be a sense of the reality and the presence of Almighty God, our Creator, Sustainer, and our ultimate Judge. We pray there may be a turning to the Saviour. And we thank and praise you, dear Heavenly Father, that that is the heart's desire from the Christian Institute. We commend them to you and thank you for the good work that they do. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring their representatives along this week safely. Give them safe journeys, Lord. Keep them safe and well. Keep them, we pray, from the attacks of the evil one. And we ask that the meeting here on this Thursday will be very valuable, Lord, to us all that can come, we pray. Pray that it will be a time of not just sitting around bemoaning and bewailing the state of our nation, Lord, but a time of great concern for the people of the land in which we live. So, Lord, we pray for your help from and for the Christian Institute. And again, Lord, we pray for your mercies to the people of Ukraine. We pray pray, Lord, for your mercies to our brothers and sisters suffering persecution today, for those in prison, for those in labour camps, for those, Lord, who are in their own homes but have neighbours who ostracise them, despise them, hate them. Lord, for your mercies towards them, we pray. Pray for those that are forbidden to meet. Pray for those that are incarcerated and have no hope of meeting. Lord, draw near to them, we pray. Strengthen their hearts. Give them a great depth of sense of your love for them and your keeping power towards them. So, Lord, we bring our prayers to you and ask for your help. Pray for your help and blessing on the church here, Lord. We pray for this little gathering this evening, answering and taking questions, that that will be a profitable and a useful and helpful time. Pray, Lord, you'll unite the brothers and sisters constantly here, Lord. And pray that you will use, bless and encourage them in sharing the good news of the gospel in this area. Lord, we thank and bless you for the testimony here and pray that you'll strengthen it and lead our brothers and sisters on in your ways for your praise and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of you know that we at Oadby are praising God for the fact that we have a new pastor. He's now in post, as they say, and tonight he's preaching as the pastor for the first time. He's not been preaching in the, he's been with us since September. He became officially our pastor and at the beginning of this month, October. But the elders had already got a preaching plan organised, and he at the moment doesn't have a home. He's lodging with one of our church families. His wife is still in Canada. She's selling up and closing down the house, which has been sold, and the deal's gone through, and she'll be moving out after next weekend and coming over. So the elders felt it would be helpful to him and to Linda if, instead of plunging him in at the deep end, we gave him the opportunity to settle in and look around. And we heard yesterday that he thinks he's found a house. Now, the amazing thing is, in Canada, if you put your house on the market and somebody makes an offer, two things happen. It's a bit like Scotland. Once somebody's committed, you can't pull out. You put the deposit down and that's it. And they actually exchange and move in 3 weeks in Canada. So he was absolutely gobsmacked when he found it can take 6 months here, and then you're not sure till the day you move in. So we're praying that the house that he's identified will come about in God's will. I don't know where it is, but so we praise God for that. And his induction service is on the 19th of this month, so that's 3 weeks as yesterday. And invitations have gone out. So if any representative, any of you want to come from Little Hill and support us, 2:30 in the afternoon, Saturday the 19th of November. His name's Gary Prickett. He's, as I've said it before, he comes from Canada. And we very much look forward to his ministry and help at Oadby. We praise God for him. So do remember to pray for us there and for Gary. Right, okay. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We're going to sing about that, shall we, right now. And again, my memory serves me right, this is only a short song, so we'll sing this one a couple of times as well.
To my head, they are here.
it does seem as if it's a bit of a cynical statement when Solomon, writing one of his many proverbs that are recorded in the book of Proverbs, said this: many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Makes you wonder whether he's had problems with the plumber, doesn't it, or something like that. A faithful man who can find? Well, the fact of the matter is that he ought to be able to find faithful men and women because, as we know from what we've been thinking about already, the fruit of the Spirit includes faithfulness, and therefore there ought to be faithful people around. We've already had a look at the strawberry of self-control, the grapes of gentleness and meekness, and now we come to the fig. That's right, yeah. This is clever stuff, you notice that, don't you? The fig of faithfulness. There we are. And we come to faithfulness tonight. This word faithfulness in the Bible basically means solid reliability. Solid reliability. It was a prominent mark of the Christians in Ephesus, because Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus and he called them the saints and Ephesus faithful in Christ Jesus. That in that church, that's what their church stood out as, a group of faithful people. Paul notes that as he writes to them. And it ought to be evident in every Christian, and therefore faithfulness, solid reliability, ought to be evident in every local church. Is faithfulness in your church one of its great characteristics? If somebody was writing about Little Hill, would they be able to say, the Christians in Little Hill who are faithful? That's what stands out, faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was inspired to write that great chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 about the final day and the great resurrection, he ends it up by exhorting the Christians, therefore, in the light of all this, he says, brothers, be steadfast, which is just another way of saying, brothers, remain faithful. So faithfulness, then, it includes trustworthiness, dependability. It's about fidelity and loyalty. Now, if you're as old as me, and I do use the word if you're as old as me and were brought up on the Authorised Version, you will know that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Authorised Version translates the word faith. It says it's faith. And this word that's now translated faithfulness comes directly from the Greek for faith. But the more modern translations, as you see in the ESV, the NIV, the kind of Bibles we would use more today, and the commentators that comment upon these verses, they are all of the opinion that the right translation, really, of the word here is faithfulness. And that's perfectly reasonable, because faithfulness grows out of faith. Faithfulness is based on the original word for faith. And so it does, because true faithfulness grows out of a real faith in God and then develops as faithfulness to God. So you can see the direct connection between faith that goes on to be faithfulness. Now let's have a think about this faithfulness then, this wonderful quality. And the first thing about this wonderful quality is that it is from the faithful God. We've already been trying to emphasize that already. Faithfulness comes from the faithful God. And we read in Psalm 57 and verse 10, that the steadfast love of the Lord is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. This is an attempt by the psalmist to kind of picture for us the vastness of the faithfulness of God. We might think of these things as operating on our level down here, but he's saying to us, no, but the faithfulness of God is far further, higher and above all that. It's right up to the clouds. It goes beyond the clouds. It's right up to the heavens. This is the vastness of the faithfulness of God. We just sung that little chorus, and we sang the hymn to start with that's based on that famous verse from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's beyond description. It's never ending. It's eternal, everlasting. His mercies never come to an end. His love is steadfast, he's faithful in everything and all the time. That's the faithfulness of God, our Father. I know it's simple stuff. You know all this, don't you? But we need to encourage one another in these things. Remind one another. This is the great faithfulness of God, our Father. And because it's a characteristic of the great God, our Father, it's no surprise us, therefore, that it is perfectly demonstrated in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. If it's from the Father, it's in the Son. And our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that perfectly. We're told in John chapter 13 that he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. That's an expression of his faithfulness to them. And we need to think, you know, what did that entail? Because here are these disciples, they were a bit of a motley crew, and sometimes they were all full of enthusiasm, and then another time they'd gone off the boil, and sometimes they were right behind him, and other times they were much further back. They were hot, they blew hot and cold, and yet he remained faithful to them all the way through. His faithfulness to them never weakened. So that he could pray in that great high priestly prayer on the night in which he's betrayed, he could say to his Father, I kept them in your name, thinking of his disciples. I've kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them. Not one of them has been lost, except, of course, the one that never was a true disciple, Judas Iscariot. But his true disciples, not one of them, he says, have I lost. I've kept them all. I think of when he said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. In other words, suck every vestige of faith out of you, is what Jesus said. That's what the devil would like to do to you, Peter. But then he looks at all his disciples, and he says, but I have prayed for you. Peter, the devil's after you, but remember, all of you, I've prayed for you. His faithfulness to them right the way through to the very end. That's why Jesus then, even in glory, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, his faithfulness continues as he is risen from the dead and ascends to glory, where he is now the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. The faithful witness he is in glory. Our faithful and wonderful Saviour. Faithfulness is a great and glorious trait of the Father, demonstrated fully and perfectly in the life of the Saviour. And as we are already well aware, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit as well, from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who works the kind of faithfulness we're talking about in the heart and the life of every Christian. And it seems to me that the faithfulness of God is a great incentive to trust him. The faithfulness of God is a great incentive to trust him. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, knelt down on the platform, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Blessed be the Lord. Not one word has failed of all his good promises which he spoke to Moses." A few hundred years has gone by now since Moses first brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Solomon can say, we look back on our history from the bringing them through the Red Sea and bringing them through the wilderness and bringing them into the promised land. And you think about all the unfaithfulness of the Israelites during the days of the judges, how they often backslid into their idolatry and forsook the commands of the Lord, and he would rescue them, and then they'd go and do it again, and he'd rescue them, and they'd do it again. And through all that, not a single one of God's promises was broken. His faithfulness remained solid and sure all those years. Solomon is able to say, as he looks back on the history of his people, not one word has failed of all his good promises which he spoke to his servant Moses, and not one word ever will be broken. No wonder, therefore, the psalmist David says, put not your trust in princes. He says, don't trust the son of man in whom is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that day, that very day, his plans perish. It doesn't mean to say that you should be so cynical that you're never prepared to trust anybody you ever meet again. He's not saying that, but he's saying for the needs, our salvation, our eternal destiny, all the things that really matter in the end, you can only trust God for, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, because even people we think of as being trustworthy, reliable people, you see, you and I don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. Life is transient. And the people we rely on today, and rightly so, they might be gone by tomorrow. Kings, governments, princes, presidents, prime ministers, they come and they go, and sometimes they come and go very quickly, don't they, within a couple of months. And what happens is what it says here, when they go, their plans go with them. That's exactly what happened here, isn't it, in this country. Only, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know? So he says, ultimately, you can't trust people in the end. Why? Because when they go, their plans and all, everything goes with them. But with God, he's always there, always faithful, and you can trust him completely. And that's why Christians ought to know this fruit of faithfulness. Because the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus and he makes this amazing statement. I find this mind-blowing, I really do, every time I read it. He actually says to the Christians in Ephesus, be imitators of God. Mimic God. Is that what we're doing? Be like God, he says. And that includes in faithfulness. If God is great in faithfulness, be imitators of God in his faithfulness. So where do we get faithfulness from? It comes from the faithful God. But as I've said all this, you may be thinking, well, the problem is, Mike, there is so often so many failures of faithfulness, aren't there? So often so many failures of faithfulness. We mentioned Judas who betrayed Jesus, but it isn't just him, is it? What do we discover? once he was arrested, all the disciples left him or forsook him and fled, all of them. What a failure in loyalty and faithfulness that was. And then when Peter recovered his courage a little bit and followed him to the house of Caiaphas and into the courtyard and sat around the burner, keeping warm with the rest of them, what did he do? He went and denied Jesus three times. So his faithfulness failed again. And then later on, a good bit later on, the Apostle Paul had to write to his young friend Timothy and say, Demas has deserted me. This Christian brother has gone and been unfaithful and has deserted me. But the trouble is, as we look back on these people, as I look back on them, I'm reminded of my unfaithfulness and my failures. Haven't we all made promises and then we've not kept them? Haven't we all failed to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ when we had the opportunity, haven't we? Haven't we all neglected at times to support our brothers and sisters in our local church when we could have done? We've all failed in our faithfulness, surely, at times, haven't we? What do we do about that? When we're convicted of our unfaithfulness, when we're reminded of it, what do we do? Well, the first thing we do is we still remember God's faithfulness. The Apostle Paul wrote it to Timothy. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. Do we take comfort in that? Yeah, we may fail, but he never does. And then, of course, if we confess our unfaithfulness, he is the God who is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, dear friends, if you're tonight, as a result of this, feeling a degree convicted about failure of faithfulness in some particular way, take it to the Lord. Take it to him. Ask for his help. Pray for his forgiveness. And as we think about that, let's not be too hard on others. We can look back on Peter who denied Jesus three times and think, what? Would you believe it? How pathetic. Well, what about us? Oughtn't we to be a bit more sympathetic when others fail in their faithfulness, fail in their faithfulness? Perhaps somebody's been disloyal to you. Perhaps, you know, recently somebody's promised to help you and then they didn't turn up and whatever, in all sorts of ways. Dear friends, when we're faced with other people's unfaithfulness, let's remember our own. Let's remember our own and not be too censorious about it and overly critical. Isn't it Jesus who said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone? Yes, we all know there are failures in faithfulness. And that's why it's important for us then to be fostering faithfulness. To be fostering faithfulness. We need to heed the exhortation that says it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy or faithful. We all ought to have said, it's for you. Something like that, shouldn't we? Oh, it's somebody at the door. Oh, it's not a phone. Somebody at the door. So Barry's gone to welcome him in. Excellent. Good. Great stuff. We've all been entrusted as stewards, if we are Christians. We've been entrusted with God's word. We've been entrusted with God's work. We'd been entrusted with living a life that's evident for the Lord and that's for Him. Those are the things we've been entrusted with. And we are told if we're entrusted in these things, we need to be found trustworthy. So therefore, being faithful is something we ought to work on. And we've got great encouragements for that. I think about, for example, this wonderful catalogue of God's people in Hebrews chapter 11. And you look at their lives, the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and move on, don't we? Oh, I'm trying to think of them all now. Moses, there's Gideon's mentioned, even old Samson's gets a mention. There are all these Old Testament characters. And yeah, sometimes they were faithful, and sometimes they were unfaithful, weren't they? Just the same as us. Well, let's take courage from that. Let's be encouraged by it. So, well, they managed, they persevered through to the end, didn't they? They kept going right through to the end. So can we. And that's why Paul, the apostle says in the very next chapter, chapter 12, he says, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. In other words, let's press on faithfully as good stewards of all that the Lord God has put into our hands. Let's live in faithful allegiance and faithful obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something we need to get up and think about each day. Need to get up and say to ourselves, I need to hold fast today to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So I need to hold on, hold fast to the Lord, for he is faithful and he will hold fast to us. And it isn't that we have to try and foster faithfulness on our own, because we have the Lord's help. If you think of that, when we are tempted to unfaithfulness, we find there's no temptation that's overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it and press on faithfully through it all. The Lord will help. The Lord is faithful, Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you, that is, strengthen you, hold you up, guard you against the evil one. You have the help of the faithful God. So trust him and rely on him. And let's endeavour to be faithful to him. I wonder if you're like me. I'm sure perhaps at times you are anyway. Do you ever think to yourself, I wonder if I really will endure to the end? I wonder if I really will be faithful to the Lord right to the end of my life. Those of you that were with us for the first of these three, when we looked at self-control, do you remember, any of you, that I mentioned, you notice a number of times in the Bible, the people that went off the rails, these are people who served the Lord and had been living faithfully to the Lord, and they went off the rails as they got older. Do you remember me mentioning that? People like Solomon is a prime example. King Asa, King Uzziah, King Josiah, Gideon even did a wobbly towards the end of his life. And, that does concern me, concerns me. Will I be faithful to the end? So how can we foster this faithfulness? Well, I think there is a simple answer, actually. And it's to foster our faithfulness by fellowship with the Saviour. It's not rocket science. By fellowship with the Saviour. Jesus said, whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. What are we looking at? The fruit of the Spirit. Keep close to Jesus and he'll keep us faithful. Whoever abides in me, that means whoever walks with me, whoever shares his life with me, and I share my life with him or her. So we walk this life together, the Saviour and me, the Saviour and you. And as we do so, he will strengthen our faithfulness and keep us to the end. So let's talk to him every day. Do you talk to the Saviour every day? We need to, don't we? Do we listen for his voice as we read his precious word? We should do. And he'll share and help us every day. We need to ask him to fill us with his Spirit every day. Because the Holy Spirit produces faithfulness. These are the things we can do every day as we get up and go about our day. We need to pray and pray together as a church. Lord, help me and increase in us faithfulness today and for this week. We need to be fostering faithfulness and looking a bit further toward the future as well. One other thing, finally, we need to be then furthering our faithfulness, fostering it and then furthering it, and particularly as the days become more difficult, especially for Christians. The Apostle Peter was inspired to write to Christians who were having a tough time, living in very hard times. And he says, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. And notice, while doing good. These people were suffering. Yes, okay, the Lord was allowing it. It was all under his hand. But they needed to entrust themselves to their faithful Creator and carry on being faithful. Carry on doing good. Even though they were struggling and suffering and life was hard. And it really was hard in first century Roman Empire. It was tough to be a Christian. It was illegal to be a Christian. It was dangerous to be a Christian. The Apostle John wrote to the Christians in a little place called Smyrna. And he said, do not fear what you're about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested for 10 days. And you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death. Yeah, he says, stay faithful to the end, even if it costs you your life. And why? Because then the Lord says, I'll give you a crown of life. I'll give you a crown of life. And the interesting thing is that the Apostle John didn't write that while he was sitting at a deck chair in his garden in a nice, comfortable home in Jerusalem. He wrote it from the penal colony of Patmos. He was suffering himself. So, when life is tough and we are tempted to let go of our faithfulness to the Lord, think of the rewards. Think of what it'll end up in. Think of that day when the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. Well, it might not seem little now down here, but when you compare it to eternity, this is only a very little time and very little trouble, really, in the end. Our light and temporary afflictions, as Paul calls them in Corinthians. He says, you've been faithful over a little. Stay faithful in your little lives together. And I'll set you over much. The much of glory will far outweigh the trouble of this life on earth. And then Jesus says, enter into the joy of your master. Come on in and enjoy it. You had your struggles down there, but it'll be great up here. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And actually, I don't want to leave you with the impression that therefore this life is going to be terrible and miserable all the time, because again, Solomon is able to say in the book of Proverbs, a faithful man will abound with blessings. We might not have much in this life, but we'll have the presence of the Lord, we'll have his help, we'll have his grace, we'll have his love, we'll have his mercy, we'll have his goodness, we'll have his presence, we'll have his kindness. What more do you want? What more do we want? So folks, living in this country as godlessness increases, and I think it will, unless there's a miracle, let's be encouraged. Remember, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This world can't outlive the wonderful faithfulness of God. You can't outlive his faithfulness. Remember that under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield to keep us safe. Well, there we are. We'll need to keep encouraging one another to be loyal to our Lord. We'll need to keep encouraging one another to be faithful to his precious word. We'll need to encourage one another in our allegiance to one another and to his people, and our faithfulness to his gospel. And remember, in all of that, the faithfulness of the Saviour in giving himself for you and for me. He faithfully went to the cross on Easter Friday, Good Friday, in order to bear your sins, in order to carry away your unfaithfulness, in order to suffer my hell in my place, in order to carry my condemnation and your condemnation away, in order to save us and present us ultimately in heaven in glory with all the joy and the blessings of eternity. Jesus has been so faithful to you and to me. And therefore, we need to be faithful to take up our cross and follow him. He went to the cross faithfully for us. And he says, come on, pick up your cross and follow me faithfully as well. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So let's pray together. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage one another to grow in our faithfulness, come what may. That faithfulness might be one of the wonderful traits of our churches and our Christian lives, along with self-control, gentle meekness, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. I just hope these simple things have been a real help and an encouragement to you. We're going to sing together. It's in the church supplement. It's going to be on the screen as well. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. And we sing together, what a faithful God have I. Is he your God and your Saviour? Oh, I do hope so. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen.